So today we begin Siman Kuf Gimel, which is very exciting. I would recommend learning Kuf Gimel and Kuf Dalet together. We're not going to really spend very much time on Siman Kuf Dalet, at least that is the plan as of now. We do not very often get shilos about rats falling into beer, although I did see a story this morning that New York City in the Upper West Side is totally overrun by gigantic rats the size of bunny rabbits. Just another thing to add to the list of what's going on in the world today. But still, we don't get too many shilos relating to that. So, we'll probably spend maybe a half a shiur on Siman Kuf Dalet, but Siman Kuf Gimel, we're going to spend a good amount of time on Bili Neder. So let's begin. Kuf Gimel, we've gotten through all of the things that don't become batel, all of the exceptions to bittul. All of those things that are exception to bittul. Now we move on to the concept of nosin tamav kam, which is one of the most basic and important concepts in all of hilchos kashrus, and is nogeya mamish meisim b'chol yom v'yom. Wherever you are in terms of kashering kelim, it's very critical. So to understand the yesodos of the sugya are very, very important. So the source of nosin tamav kam, it starts with the sugya in avodah zarah daf samach zayin. The Gemara has a machlok Tanaim over there, where the Gemara tells us echad nosin to quotes a brisa, echad nosin tam lefgam, the echad nosin tam leshvach, osur divrei meir. The meir shita is that if an iser is nosin tam lefgam into the heter, it's still going to be osur. That there is no such heter called nosin tam lefgam. If iser gives tam into heter, it's still going to be osur. Rabbi Shimon Omer leshvach osur lefgam mutter. Now Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says no. Only when it's nosin tam leshvach, it's going to be osur. But when something is nosin tam lefgam, then it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir's Shita is based on Giulei Akum, which are Nosin Tam Lefgam, and the Torah still requires kashering, that even though the kalim that we got from Midian are already Nosin Tam Lefgam, they're already more than 24 hours since our last use, and we still require kashering. And the Shita of Rabbi Shimon is based on L'Sochu Kol Nevela L'Gera Asher B'Sharechat Itnena V'Achala O Machol Enochri. Then what do you do with Nevela? You give it L'Gera Asher B'Sharechat Itnena V'Achala, and he will eat it. So Goyim can eat Nevela. So Rabbi Shimon says, you see from the fact that you feed it to Goyim that only Nevela Haru'uya L'Ger is Asura V'Achila, and is the Nevela She'en Haru'uya L'Ger is Eino Kruya Nevela. And if it's not really Lachilas Adam, it's Motir. Oh! Who's got Zoom capabilities? That is a, that's an important interruption. I feel bad. There are probably people like, okay.
I didn't think of it on my own. Someone asked.
Oh.
Can't take all the credit around here.
Which speaks to a bigger problem that obviously I'm not really interacting with the Zoom chevra. I don't even notice the absence. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
We're good? It screws out and in. Okay. All right. Shalom Aleichem, Zoom Chevra. All right. Sort of see me? Sit down like this? We could just raise it. Raise the whole thing.
Where's the?
Here.
That's good.
Oh,
I see that tightened.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Okay, yeah. Back up a little. Okay. All right, we're good. All right, so we didn't really say much so far. We started sure, we forgot about the Zoom Chevra. I'm sorry about that. So we didn't say all that much so far. All we said over so far is just the very basic machlokas tanaim of Odzar Dav Samach Zayin, whether there's such a heter called Nosin Tam of Gam. When something is Nosin Tam of Gam, is it mutter or is it aser? And we pointed out that Rabbi Shimon holds that even Nosin Tam of Gam is aser. If you have Issa that's Nisarev with heter, so it asers the heter. It's not going to help that it's Nosin Tam of Gam. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that no, Nosin Tam of Gam is mutter. So we said, what's the basis of Rabbi Shimon's Shita that Nosin Tam of Gam is mutter? It's based on the pasuk of Lo Sochu Kol Nevela, the Gera Shemeshrach Tinana Bachala. Oh, machor lenachri, that when you have a nevela, you can't eat it. So what do? Give it to a guy, and the guy will eat it. So you see from there that only that which is roi lachilas guy, that's roi lachilas adam, is called nevela. If it's not roi lachilas adam, it's not called nevela. Asks the Orachayim HaKadosh on the pasuk, how do we know that nevela haru'il ager is aser and nevela shein ru'il ager is not aser? Maybe all nevela is aser, and the Torah is just telling you that whatever is edible you should give to a guy, and whatever is inedible throw out. Meaning, why would the guy want something that's inedible? So it's not saying that. How do you know that anything that you can't give to the guy because he's not going to be interested in eating it is not an iser b'chlal? Maybe you just can't give it to a guy, but it's still a nevela. You just have no benefit in giving it to a guy. He's not interested in taking that which that which can't be eaten. So the Archaim HaKadosh explains that the limud is from the change of the lashon of the pasuk. By the ger it says leger asher bisharecha titnena. So it says who to give it to leger before that you should give it titnena. Right, leger asher b'sharecha. That's who you give it titnena, and then the pasuk continues. Oh, not lenachri machor. Oh, machor lenachri. Machor lenachri. It first says what to do with it, machor, and then to whom lenachri. Really, both parts should say what to do before to whom you do it. That would be the normal way to speak. So it should say titnena leger or machor lenachri. But it doesn't. It says leger asher b'sharecha titnena. Oh, machor lenachri. So what's the Torah doing by flipping the phrases? So says the Arachayim HaKadosh, what the Torah is trying to do is to juxtapose the word nevela to the word ger. As in, lo sochlu kol nevela leger asher b'sharecha, to tell me that nevela and ger are very much connected to each other, to teach that only nevela ruya leger is called nevela. That's the limud, the way the Arachayim HaKadosh sees it. Because otherwise, what's the limud exactly? Just because you're giving that which is edible leger, it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that's called nevela. The Chasam Sofer in his Chidushim Tavod Zaram on Daf Samuches understands the drasha a little differently. He says, no, it's from the fact that the Torah added the word va'achala, right? Leger asher b'sharecha titnena va'achala. Go give it to the Gerish HaBashracha and he will eat it. If not that, then what? I mean, you have to tell him what to do with it. It's food, right? He'll figure out what to do with it. Va'achala, and he will eat it. Why does he have to tell me va'achala? So you see that only edible nevela is included in the Yisr because of Echila Yoitzu Tzarech, says the Chasam Sofer. He needs our Eitzah. Mayasim and nevela im yochleno lo. Like, you're going to give him a piece of steak and he's like, oh, what do I do with this? I don't know. Oh, eat it. Oh, okay, thank you so much. I have no idea. He needs our Eitzah about what to do with a piece of meat, with a piece of food. That's ridiculous. So it must be that the Torah is telling us that if it's ro'il achilas adam, you need to give it to the guy. Otherwise, you can keep it because it's not nevela bichlal. Now, that is just as far as, you know, what the drasha of Rabbi Shimon is. Now, as far as what Rabbi Shimon holds about the need for agolas kelim, meaning, again, what did we say? That Rabbi Meir's shita, that nosin tam lefgam is aser, is based on Hagalas Kalim. Why else would you need to do Hagalas Kalim? The clay midyan are more than 24 hours old, so, or any Kalim that you have that are not kosher, just wait till more than 24 hours. You shouldn't need to do Hagalah if there were really such a heter called Nosin Tam of God. Elamai, even after 24 hours, they're going to be aser. So what's Rabbi Shimon going to do about Hagalas Kalim? Why can't you just wait until it's Nosin Tam of God and then will automatically become kosher. So the Gemara answers that really lo asra Torah ela kedera bas yom. That really min ha Torah, you only have to kosher when it's a ben yomo. You only have to kosher within 24 hours of its last use. Or the last being used for non kosher. We'll see last use or last use for non kosher. We'll get to that later. The Ran adds that midrabanan we require kashering even after 24 hours. That's really explicit in Gemara Daf Ayin Vav, where the Gemara asks mikan ve'eloch lishturi. The Gemara asks explicitly, okay, good. So after 24 hours, let it be mutter. And the Gemara over there in Daf Ayin Vav says no. Gzeira kedera shein bas yoma mishum kedera bas yoma. We make a gzeira that you got a kasher even a kli that hasn't been used in 24 hours up to a kli that's been used in the last 24 hours. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, who darshens the pasuk about nevela differently, right? What does Rabbi Meir do with the pasuk about nevela? The Gemara discusses that also. Meaning it says, L'gerish b'shracha titnena, yet Rabbi Meir holds that even if it's Einaruya L'ger, it's still called the nevela. So how does he darshen the pasuk? He says the pasuk about nevela only teaches L'mu'ute shrucha me'ikara. It comes to teach me about something, an animal that was already ruined while it was still alive, like it was a mukashchin or something, so it was not edible even before it ever became a nevela, and therefore the Yisra nevela was never chal. But once it becomes a nevela, it's not going to lose the status of nevela on account of it just becoming inedible. That's how Rabbi Meir darshan the pasuk. So if you hold like Rabbi Meir, that who darshan the pasuk about nevela, about shrucha meikara, and he holds that no sein tam lefgam is usher, then you would need to kasher all kelim, right? There would be no suffix. So we clearly paskin no sein tam lefgam is mutter on a daraisa level. Meaning we need to kasher all kelim, but the reason we need to kasher all kelim is not because midoraisa it's required, like Shitas Rabbi Meir, rather like Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that it's midrabanan gzeira enu ben yomo atu ben yomo. So Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph paskins that vafilu ein tamo pagu machmas atzmo shebifnei atzmo hu mutam umushubach ela shepogim taruvaso mutter. Shulchan Aruch goes one step further than what the pasuk really directly taught us, right? The pasuk taught us about a nevela, the actual chefza of iser being eino roi lachila. So we see in Shulchan Aruch, I mean, it's based on the Gemara and certainly the discussion about agolas kelim, that even if the tam is not pogum machmas atzmo, it's a good tam. It's just going to be pogim ataroves. That's going to be asra as well. That's explicit in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah over there. The Gemara talks about yayin nesach that falls into greasing. So yayin nesach is perfectly delicious, but when it falls into greasing, it's not so delicious. It makes the greasing worse, not better. So even though it's a yayin is pleasant tasting, but it negatively affects the greasing, it's mutter. In Darkei Tshuva, Sivkan Gimel, he quotes that the Yad Yehuda says that even if the tam isn't pagum, but the reyach is pagum, he says, "Mu'urav bo davar sherecho ra, va'adam katzbo machmas hareyach ra." That's also considered no sein tam lefgam. Wow, that's a chiddush, that the reyach is going to be so closely associated with tam that if a person would say, you know what, no thank you, just from smelling the food, even though they haven't yet tasted the food or they're not interested in tasting it because of the smell, that would also be considered a pagum. Now, what's the yesod hamachlokas over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? What is the nekudas hamachlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? So the nekudas hamachlokas had a dash of the psukim, but what's the theoretical underpinning of the machlokas? Rav Soloveitchik explained that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon are perhaps arguing about how closely related Hilchos ma'achalos asuros are to Hilchos tumas ochlin. Right, in order for something to have tumas ochlin, it also needs to have a shame ochel. If it doesn't have a shame ochel, it can't become tamei as tumas ochlin. So to what extent do we say that those same rules are going to apply to ma'achalos asuros? What are the rules when it comes to tumas ochlin? If you have something that was never ra'ui la'achilas adam, it does not become tamei as tumas ochlin, right? It's not going to become a sheni l'tumah. It's not going to have all the dinim of tumas ochlin. But if food became tamei, it remains tamei until it's nifsal gamri. nifsal me'achilas kelev, meaning it's even after, it's no longer edible for human consumption, once it becomes tameh, when it was edible, it retains that level of tumah until it's totally nifsal. This you have a lot, that in order to for something to be chal, everything needs to be perfect. But once it already has that that characteristic, to lose it takes a little bit more. So if there is a parallel between Tumas Ochlin and Macholos Asuros, then Srucha Me'ikara will never become Asir. But that which was Ra'il Achilas Adam and became Asir will remain Asir even after its Nifsal Me'achilas Adam. And that is Shitas Rabbi Meir. That Nevela Shein Ra'il Ger, if it was not a Srucha Me'ikara, Rabbi Meir said, if it's Srucha Me'ikara, I agree. If it was a Mukash Shchin while it was alive, and therefore the Shem Nevela could never be Chal on it because it was bad to begin with, I agree. There's no Isir. Just like Tumas Ochlin, that if you have something that was not an Ochel to begin with, then there's no Tumas Ochlin. But once you're going to say that a Shem Isser is going to be Chal, a Nevela is Chal, the animal dropped dead, so now it's a Nevela. A hunter shot the animal, now it's a Nevela. So to make that Isser Nevela go away, it needs to be more than just Nifsal Me'achilas Adam. And that's where Rabbi Meir holds, that even if it's not Nevela Shena Rui Lager, it's still Korea Nevela. So it's an exact parallel. However, Rabbi Shimon holds that by Macholos Asuros, as soon as something becomes Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, it immediately becomes Mutter. Unlike Tumas Ochlin, which needs to get to the point of Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev to lose the Shem Ochel. So it's all about how closely associated the Shem Ochel is, the criteria for Shem Ochel is, when it comes to Tumas Ochlin and Macholos Asuros, whereas Rabbi Meir sees an exact parallel, Rabbi Shimon does not. Now, everything we say about Rabbi Meir is pretty much academic, right? Meaning, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, Nosin Tam Lefgam is Mutter, Nevela Shein Rui Lager is Enokriya Nevela, right? That's pretty clear. Now, the question is, once we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and we know that something can become Pagum, so the most classic example of that, even though the Pasuk is talking about an actual Chaticha, you have an actual piece of Nevela that becomes Pagum, the classic example is Blios, right? Meaning, and that's what we're going to spend most of our time talking about, that Blios that are in the Dofne Hakli for more than 24 hours become Pagum, and therefore will be Pogame your food, and therefore are not going to be an Isser, according to Rabbi Shimon, how we Paskin, right? The question is, does that happen to food also? Does food itself become Pagum after 24 hours? So on the surface, that's a ridiculous question, right? Food can't become pogum after 24 hours. I don't know about you guys. Our family is a very big leftover family. Like the Shabbos food always gets eaten in its entirety. However long it takes, it will get eaten. Usually by Monday night, it's all gone. But you know, if it lasts longer, that's fine too. If it will be lunch, if you did, so what? Are you going to say that if you have a piece of Nevela steak and you just leave it in your fridge for 24 hours, so that's ridiculous. You can't say that it becomes Nevela Shena Rui Lager. It's not true. It's because the Metzius is not true. There is a funny Rashi though. Rashi on Samach Zayin and Beis writes that Dahab Shitalan called Tavshil Shelon Laila Echad Nifkam Taimo V'Avar Tzurasa. That a Tavshil Shelon Laila Echad, right? Rashi, Dibur Maschil Lav. The Pshitalan called Tavshil Shelon Laila Echad Nifkam Taimo V'Avar Tzurasa. And the Rashash, you know, sets off the alarms on this. The Rashash is not commenting on that Rashi. Actually, the Rashash is commenting on Tosos and some Chavavim days in Dibur Maschil Rava. He says it doesn't take a massive diuk to see from that Rashi that even food itself, if it's Einu Ben Yomo, becomes No Sein Tam Lefgam, which is really strange. When Rashi says over Tzuraso, he means that by Kachim, staying overnight, is considered that an Ibur Tzuras HaBasa, that you lost the Tzura of the Basa. So later on, we'll discuss how that might apply to tiny amounts of food stuck on the surface, and you have to say that's what Rashi is referring to. He's not talking about a piece of steak. He's tiny amounts of food. Interestingly, Tosfos uses the Din of Ibur Tzura as the basis for a Kal V'Chomer, that Nosin Tam Lefgam that if even food itself is considered to have Hebrew Tzura overnight, then for sure a tam that's Nivla B'Kedera becomes Nifkan when it's Eino Ben Yomo. Even without refrigeration. We just had this past Shabbos. We had a very nice, my wife bought a very nice roast that had to be, she baked right before Shabbos. And then right before Shabbos, she shut off the oven and she said, you know what, I'll just leave it in the oven. The oven was off, so there's no problem with shahir or anything like that. I just leave it in the oven till Shabbos. And then she realized that she didn't turn the lights off in the oven. So if you open the oven door, the light will turn on. Okay, so the oven enjoyed a delicious roast for the whole Shabbos. We didn't have the roast for Shabbos. If you had a guy, you would have been able to do something. But, you know, there was enough other food. We didn't starve. No one lost any weight over Shabbos, I can promise. But yesterday, we forgot about it, Motzei Shabbos. Then yesterday, like lunchtime, we opened up the oven to remove this roast. But it didn't look so bad. Are you going to tell me that if that was an Avela, that would be just because there's no modern refrigeration? Hard to imagine. He must be referring to very minute amounts or something like that.
Why do very minute amounts of food
spoil faster? It's a good question. We'll get to that, though. That is definitely a shita that exists. That we'll have to get to. We have to research the science behind that also, right, and see if that's true. What if you have something? So we're talking about Nosin Tam of Gam, something that's in a real ger, and we'll have to see if those two things are the same. Meaning there are really three concepts. They have to figure out if they're Shlosha Shehim Echad, Shlosha Shehim Shnayim, or Shlosha Shehim Shlosha. Right? There's Nevela Shein Uriel Ger, there's Nosin Tam of Gam, and there's what's called Shalok Kederech Achila. So Sugim Sachem doesn't even appear in Mesechta Vodazar. Right? So what do you do with are all three of those saying the same thing? Or are they somehow, are the Gedarim different? Do they follow different rules? Are they defined differently? So we'll get to that momentarily. But first, before we even get to that, what if you have something that is neither Nosin Tam Lefgam nor Nosin Tam Leshvach? Meaning it's nothing. It doesn't add any positive taste or any negative taste. So the Beis Yosef quotes Agos Hashri in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Siman Tes, that Vim Eino Nosin Tam Lo Lefgam Lo Leshvach Aser, meaning there's a heter called Nosin Tam Lefgam, but it's not that something is only Aser when it's Nosin Tam Leshvach. It's that if it's Nosin Tam Lefgam, then it's a heter. And in fact, the Shach writes this. The Shach in Sivkat and Beis quotes this. From that Hagos Hashri and other Rishonim as well, Beis Yosef only quotes Hagos Hashri. The Shach adds a few more. Aval davar sheino nosin tam lo l'shvach v'lo l'fgam aser. Why? How does he know? De kaimelan de gufo shel gid sheni moach tzorach shishim negdo. Let's say you have a gid anasha and it gets mixed into a taroves and it's not nicker anymore. It's totally dissolved in the taroves. You need shishim keneged the gid. The avkav they know the case v'alma. Ain begidim nosin tam. The gid anasha is eitz bialma. It's not nosin any tam. Not l'shvach. Not l'fgam. It's just eitz bialma. Hatorah osarto. K'damin perikid anasha. Buhu adin lekol davar iser. The avgav dein nosin tam. Tzoruk shishim negdav. So the same must be true of any iser, even if it's not nosin tam. Just like gid anasha, you need shishim. Meaning you're not going to say this idea of nosin tam of gam mutter. And he says his Yerushalmi and Trumas like this that lo l'shvach v'lo l'fgam is aser. On the flip side, the Minchas Kohen in Chelek Aleph Perek Yud is Mekel, as by the way is the Chachma Sadam and the Kaf Chaim. So serious poskim are Mekel on this issue. If it's not Nosin Tam of Gam nor Nosin Tam L'Shvach, that when does Tam Aser? When the Tam that it's giving is an actual Tam, but if it doesn't give any Tam, so then there's no Tam Kaker. So what do you mean? The whole how could you talk about Nosin Tam if it's not adding any positive flavor? The whole din of Tam Kaker is that the Tam of the non kosher is contributing. So the middle ground is what the Prima Gadim quotes from the Pri Chadash. The Prima Gadim has an interesting phraseology from the Pri Chadash. He says, "De ishtabush kahani." the Kohanim here were messed up, meaning the Shach and the Minchas Kohen. The two protagonists over here, there's some confusion over here. There's a middle ground, and probably you could make the case that they aren't arguing, or at least should not be arguing. Meaning, the Shach would be right about things that you can taste, but it doesn't taste any better or worse. But when it comes to something that is nisyavish ke'etz, it's considered eino roi l'ger, and that would taka be mutter. Did I say that? So meaning, when it's something that you can taste that it's there, it's just, you know, does it make it taste more flavorful? If you're on one of those baking shows or something, you know, and they taste it, they say, you know, there's a wasted ingredient. It didn't really add anything. But I could taste that it's there, but it didn't make the food any more flavorful or any less flavorful. It didn't make it better or worse. So then you can apply tam ki ikr, because I do the tam is still there, so it's still going to be aser. But if it's mamish yavish ke'etz, where it provides nothing, where it doesn't do anything, so how can you say tam ki ikr? If it's nothing, then you'd have to say that it's mutter. If it's in Savish Ka'etz, it's considered Einu Roi Lager, it's considered to be no Sein Tam Lefgam in that sense, and it would therefore be Mutter. That's the middle ground that the Prima Gadim seems to suggest in the name of the Pri Chadash. And this could be very, very relevant in Halacha. This whole discussion of something that is not Mosif any time or Megareya any time. How could this be relevant in Halacha? There's a tshuva in Igros Moshe Yeredei Chelek Beis Simin Chav Dalit. Rav Moshe has a tshuva to Rav Kornmil, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Anyone know who Rav Kornmil was? Did I ever quote Rav Kornmil before? No. Anyone from Lawrence over here? No Lawrence boys? Rav Kornmil was the rabbi of the Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst, before Rabbi Trump, Kamuvan, and before Rabbi Teitelbaum. When I was a little boy, when my parents moved to Lawrence, Rabbi Kornmil was the rabbi of the shul. It was before Rabbi Teitelbaum was hired. I was 7 years old, and the shul was, at that time I thought it was a big shul, but it's like where the teen minyan meets now, in the Young Israel Lawrence Cedars. That was the whole shul. That was the main shul that they had just built. And on Shabbos morning, Rabbi Kornmil would speak, and he was a very old man, very little man, and he was very little, but he was very, very big. You understand? He was so when he would speak, only the first two rows could hear what he said. They were like, they'd pack into the first two rows. Whoever got a seat in the first two rows, you were able to hear him because he was already very schwach. He couldn't project at all, and everybody else just sat there politely. Can you imagine the Young Israel? I mean, forget about the Young Israel Lawrence Cedars. Any shul, like, let that happen for, like, years. You know, that happened for, like, it wasn't like a week or two till they said, okay, now we need to hire someone with a little higher energy. It was just Kavod HaRav. Yeah, I mean, he was an Adam Gadol. He built the shul. And that's it. No one's going to say anything. So if no one hears anything, fine. No one hears anything. And then ultimately they said, you know, it's time to hire a younger assistant rabbi. So they hired Rabbi Teitelbaum originally as an assistant rabbi. Rabbi Kornmil was like 4'11", and Rabbi Teitelbaum, I don't know if you know Rabbi Teitelbaum, he's like 6'5". So that was the joke, that they hired someone that it will take at least 60 years till he shrinks below 5 feet. And then Rabbi Teitelbaum started to speak every week. Rabbi Kornmil was a dayan in Vienna, I think he was a dayan in Vienna when he was like 19 years old. Very, very big. You know, America was full of these guys that had no one to talk to. There were all these European rabbanim who were massive talmid. This yeshiva was full of people like this. These massive talmidei chachamim, and there were no talmidim. There were no, you know, it's like a joke. If you were to go back 50 years in time, and the Rashi yeshiva at the time were to, you know, if they were to see what was going on here today, they'd be like, who's this little shpid, you know, this little pisher saying shir to the smicha guys? They'd be like floored, like, what the heck is going on over here? We don't have anybody to talk to, you know. But Baruch Hashem, Achshu Dara, in terms of the thirst for Torah and the fact that people want to learn Torah. But anyway, so that was Rav Kornmil. He was my rabbi growing up for at least a couple of years till he passed away. So he passed away when I was in high school. So Rav Kornmil was the why am I mentioning Rav Kornmil? Rav Kornmil was the Rav Hamachshir of Barton's Candy. There was a famous episode with Martin's Candy where Rav Soloveitchik announced right before Pesach one year, because their big business was Pesach. They had kosher Pesach candy, except they used corn syrup. So Rav Soloveitchik apparently one year, like right before Pesach, said, "You can't eat Barton's candy," and like the world like was thrown into like total disarray. Like, what do you do? It was like the only kosher candy that people were able to eat. It was like in the 1960s or something. And Rabbi Kornmil came to yeshiva to meet with Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik said, "I still hold you can't eat Barton's candy, but Rabbi Kornmil's a big Talmud Chacham, and he has his shita, whatever." Okay. So anyway, so Rav Kornmil wrote a shaila to Rav Moshe about candy. All of that is a way of saying it was about candy, meaning it was about an ingredient that they use in candy. It was a shellac that they would put on the candies, which we call confectioner's glaze. Now, it was made from tala'im that are, the way Rav Moshe describes, yonkim mesraf ilan yadua. They're yonek from a certain sap of a tree. And they put these tala'im, or the sap with the tala'im, in some sort of refinery. Rav Moshe writes out the word refinery in English, and meaning in Hebrew letters, and it it's metahir it, and it has no tam whatsoever. And they mix it with alcohol at a ratio of 3-1 or 4-1, alcohol to the tala'im. And then Rav Moshe concludes at the end of the tshuva, after going through a number of different arguments to be matir, he writes, "I'll call panim lahashach sha'oser hu." If it's not nosin tam l'shvach, nor nosin tam l'fkam, which is ultimately what it is, it's more decorative, or maybe the glaze itself has some sweetness, but certainly not from the bug, not from the tala'im. So it's neither nosin tam l'fkam nor nosin tam l'shvach. So what would you say? So l'chora, the shach is going to say aser. Right, and Nagos Hashri is going to say aser. Granted, you have a milchas kain and you have a chachmas adam, and you say mutter, and the prichadash will say, "Well, it depends. Can you tell it's there? Can you not tell it's there?" Says Rav Moshe, "I'm not so sure the shach is going to say aser." He says, "I'll kol panim la shach sha oser hurak bemino, aval beeno mino barur upashut sheeno oser kishalono sentam." He says, "When it's eno mino, if it's not actually no sentam, then it's not going to aser. Elarak benosentam umargishin oso aser be'eno mino avshalo hishbiach." He says, when it comes to eno mino, you need to actually taste it in order for it to be a problem. Shebazem odegam ashach. But when it comes to mino, where there's not going to be an asinas tam anyway, so there is no tam ki'ikr to talk about, that's where the shach is going to be machmir. Umemela afim hashalak hayadavar aser, even if the shalak is a davar aser, which Rav Moshe just spent two pages in the tshuva explaining why he did not think it was a davar aser, but that's not our topic for now. Even if the shalak is a davar aser, he says, kivan she'eno nosin tam klal v'umu'urav be'alkohol she'eno mino mutar gam la'shach. Whoa! So Rav Moshe, you know, he takes the shach, which sounds like the shach is machmir, b'chom, you know, in any situation where you have something that's not nosin tam l'shvach, nor nosin tam l'kam, and Rav Moshe says that's only if it's min b'mino. But min b'she'eno mino, even the shach would be made that it's mutar if it's not nosin tam neither l'kam nor l'shvach. Wow. Rav Moshe had three or four other reasons to be making the tshuva. All of them are debatable. Every single reason Rav Moshe quotes is debatable. This last question is problematic from a metzias perspective, because apparently after the shellac is applied, the alcohol is evaporated, and the finished shellac that remains on the candy is almost pure shellac, meaning it's all bugs, meaning there's not, or yotzei min aser. It's not, the alcohol just gets evaporated. You don't have a bunch of drunk little kids running around because, you know, like when you make like a Harvey Wallbanger cake or a Kahlua cake, right? You don't get drunk from that because the alcohol all evaporates in the oven. So what, and even when they shellac fruit, it's about 80% shellac that remains, so that it wouldn't allow for bittul anyway. What about Rav Moshe's interpretation of the shach? So if you look in the Tshuvas Emek HaTshuva, Chel Gimel Sim Samachov, who's the Tshuvas Emek HaTshuva? I forgot. It is Rav Shechter. Last year when we were doing Nida, Rav Shechter said, "I have some good svarim about Nida. You should take a look at them." So I said, okay, I thought he was going to bring me like some modern Nida svarim. He just brought me some like random tshuva svarim that have a couple of tshuvas about Nida. So one of them was Zemek HaTshuva. What? Rabbi Cheskel Roth. Yeah, so Rabbi Cheskel Roth. So in the Tshuva, Zei Mekha Tshuva, Rabbi Cheskel Roth writes, maybe I should put this on my series of Rav Moshe and his halachic adversaries. Right, Rabbi Cheskel Roth. So Rabbi Cheskel Roth, he's a big makel in Hilchos Nida. Rabbi Cheskel Roth, he's known to be a big makel in Hilchos Nida, with Maros in particular. He's the one they tell the Maisa about, that someone was driving him and they stopped at a red light, and he said, why did you stop? And the guy said, it's a red light. He said, no, that's not red. And you can, you know, he's known to be. So anyway, so Rabbi Cheskel Roth writes about Rav Moshe, not Tshuva, in Chel Gimel Sim Sam Vav, Avei Mekha Tshuva, he writes, Vagona Nal Bir Divrei Ashach Zal B'derech Rachok, Asher Einbo Shum Remez U'Remiza B'Zeh B'Divrei Aposkim. He says, his explanation of the Shach is far-fetched, and it's not based on anything. I mean, the Shach is just quoting what the Rishonim said. And the Rishonim don't make such a chilek between Min Mimino, Min Mishenim. You know, you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes Hagodas HaShri, he doesn't make any distinction between Min Mimino, Min Mishenim. So that's very, very difficult to understand. Yeah. Gira Nasha has to be Min Mimino, Min Mishenim, you're saying. So right, so that's in Mineu Bay. It's a problem. Yeah, how does Ramesha deal with that? I don't know. Okay, now we say it's mixed with other Gidin, and Yimoach and other Gidin. Okay, maybe. Now. Let's start getting into these three topics: Einru Yilger, No Saint Tam of Gam, and then eventually, not yet, but eventually we'll have to get into Lo Kederach Achila. Let's start with Einru Yilger, No Saint Tam of Gam. The Rashba in Taras Habayis Aruch Bayis Dalit Shar Aleph, is quoted in the Beis Yosef, discusses how pogum does something have to be in order for it to be mutter. So first he quotes Rashi in Avodah Zarah Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Divra Maskul Kol She'ina Chaseira, who says, Ve'ina Ne'echelas Lav Dafka, Dekivan De'pegimas Saporta Karila Ina Ne'echelas. Now once it's already pogum a little bit, even though it's not totally inedible, but it's a little pogum, that's already Lufka. Even a slight pegam is considered Nosin Tam Lufka. Meaning, you cook something in a pot that's Ina Ben Yomo, the food doesn't have to be disgusting in order for it to be mutter, even though the pot had blios of non-kosher in it. It's just that the blios negatively contributed to the food instead of positively contributing to the food. But the food is still fine. The food is still edible. So that's what the Rashba quotes from Rashi, the Ran as well. And the Beis Yosef quotes that the Ran brings two rayas to this idea. The Rashba brings the same rayas. That first of all, is the raya we just said. A kedera she'ina bas yom is considered nosin tam of gam, but it certainly doesn't ruin the food cooked in the pot. You know, one could even add to that, that even when Rav Meir says in the Hemshech of the Gemara that a kedera bas yom is e efshar de lo pagum porta, so apparently pagum porta makes a difference. That, at the 24-hour mark goes from pagum porta to totally inedible? No, it's the pagam is some small amount of pagam. And that's clear, right? If you were to go into one of these, residence inns or something, you know, you're on vacation and you take the pots in the cabinet and you cook yourself a bowl of noodles, you would not taste the noodles and say, oh, gross, chazer treif, I taste the disgusting spoiled chazer from whatever was cooked in this. No, you don't taste anything, you can barely even detect it. It's not, it's pagam porta, it's at most. Second of all, earlier in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara permits shemen u'dvash of goyim that were cooked in the non-Jews treif kelim. Why? Because the meat gives a tam pogum into the honey or into the oil. And that's paskened here in Siv Dalet in Shulchan Aruch, right? That halacha over here, Siv Dalet in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what? The meat is going to destroy? The tam of the meat is going to destroy the honey? It destroys? Well, no, it's pogum porta. The Ran himself, however, says that it has to be so bad that a person wouldn't eat it. No, for nosin tam of gam to work, it has to be nevela she'ena ru'iya l'ger. If something is just not perfect, but it's not bad, it's still edible, how could you call that nevela she'ena ru'iya l'ger? How could you call that nosin tam of gam? The Ran asks, why after 24 hours do we consider tam to be pogum? It doesn't totally ruin the food. How can you say that the blios become totally inedible after 24 hours and not just pogum b'miktsas? So the Ran answers that there's two dinim in those in Tamavka. The Beis Yosef quotes Ran as follows. Vinirali, dahainu taima, dilo asra Torah elak shiru uyelager, mesha ochla nehene mina isir, afal pishi nifkma ktsas. Aval kol she'en ru'il ger, kiven she'eno nehne min ha'isr, hiti rasa Torah. V'afal pi she'chal ole isr mitchila, af bi isr shenos in tam behetr, kiven she'heter nifkam k'tsas min ha'isr, nimtso she'zeh she'ochlev e'no nehne min ha'isr, ala mitztayr olav. Hilkoch shari, afal pi she'chal isr mitchila, ba'osu dover she'nesarev behetr. Meaning the entire isr is to be nehne from the isr. If you get no benefit from the Isser on account of its taste, you're not getting any benefit from the Isser, then it would be fine. So if you eat a piece of steak that's not perfectly tasting, you're still benefiting from the Isser. You get a whole steak dinner out of it. It may not taste perfect. It may be pagum porta. Maybe it's a roast that was sitting in my oven for the whole Shabbos, but I could have eaten it for lunch yesterday, and I still would have been nana from the Isser. Far from perfect, but I would have been nana from the Isser. But if flavors of Isser negatively affect the heter, then you're not at all benefiting from the Isser. If it's taroves, we're not talking about where I'm eating a chaticha. It's a taroves where there's tam of Isser that's being imparted into the heter, and that tam of Isser is downgrading my heter. Then I'm not being nana at all. I'd rather not have the Isser at all. When it comes to the steak, so even if it's pagum ktsas, I'd rather have the steak than not have the steak. The choice is it or nothing. But when I have a dvar heter, which is perfectly good, and then the isser makes it a little worse, even making it a little worse, I'm getting no hana'ah from the isser whatsoever. That's the Ran's Mahalich. And let's get clear. The Ran's Mahalich and the Rashba's Mahalich, because we're going to, the next, you know, tomorrow's shir is probably entirely nafkaminas between the Ran and the Rashba's Mahalich, because we have to see how it plays out in Shulchan Aruch, here in Hilchos Pesach, and, you know, big nafkaminas, potentially four or five nafkaminas. The Ramban and the Rashba have a different Mahalich. So again, the Ran's Mahalich is, it's all about being nene from the Yisr. So when you're dealing with a Nevela Shenari Lager, so I'm nene from the Yisr, even if it's Pagum Ktsas. It's only if it's disgusting, I can't eat it at all, that I wouldn't be nene from the Yisr. But when you're dealing with Tam, that's imparted into my Heter food, then I'm not nene from the Yisr if the Tam is downgrading food. The Ramban and the Rashba answer differently. When it comes to the Nevela itself, it has to be completely inedible. It has to be in a ruyel ager. But when discussing blios of Isser, says the Rashba, the issue is whether the blios are being nosin tam, and halachically we only consider something to be nosin tam that's going to cause trouble and apply tam ki'ikr if it's giving a positive tam. Meaning essentially, the way the Prima Gadim explains this, in Simakov Gimel, Mishpazazav, Sivkatan Aleph, and the Chavz Das, and Sivkatan Aleph, Nosin Tam of Kam is not the same thing as Ein Ru'il Lager. A small amount of Isser that gets mixed into Heter has two problems. The Tam, which you could take care of by saying that it contributed negatively, and the Mamashos, which becomes Batal Barov. Meaning essentially what the Rashba tells us is that there's two issues over here. There's Nevela Shein Ru'il Lager, and then there's Nosin Tam of Kam. Nevela Shein Ru'il Lager is a halacha that's not about tam kikr, it's about the chefza of machal sasurus itself. Nosim tam lefgam is the din tam kikr. So you have two issues to deal with. You have to make sure that the isser isn't there, and you have to make sure that it's not nosim tam in a way that's problematic. So to make sure that the isser is not there, it's batal barov. Once you have rov, the isser is not present. You're not eating the isser. What about the tam of the Yisr? Okay, as long as it's contributing negatively, you're not going to apply tam ki ikr. You're not going to say the din of tam ki ikr. So it's not a vort in hana'a, it's a mechanism of bittul plus negative tam. That's why nosin tam lefgam works. The problem with this mahalich, of course, is that the Gemara derives nosin tam lefgam from nevela shein ru'il lager. Meaning, how can you say that they're unrelated to each other, that they're two separate aterim? You know, if the Gemara clearly links the two together, in the Stipler in Avodah Zarah in Simon Chafei, he asks this kasha on the Prim Gadim and the Chavis Das in their presentation of the Shitas HaRashba. Right, Prim Gadim and the Chavis Das are the ones that say that the Rashba means to say that these are two totally separate dinim. And in fact, that's exactly the Ran's question. Right, the Ran asks the question. You don't need a Stipler. The Ran said, how could you learn this from Nevela? So Prima Gadim was bothered by this kasha also. And Prima Gadim addresses it, but very cryptically. Not so clear what the Prima Gadim means. Prima Gadim writes, Shematzinu chiluk b'nevela yeshlan alomar detam ki ikr Shematzinu chiluk b'nevela yeshlan alomar detam ki ikr lo asratara elu b'mushbach. What? What does that mean? So he probably means to say that just like there's a concept that an isser loses its status as a food when it becomes nifsal, and therefore becomes mutter, so too, tam, that is poge, metarovas, loses its status of tam, and we therefore can't apply tam ki ikr. Meaning, it's a parallel. It's not the same din. The Gemara is just drawing a parallel. The Gemara is saying, ooh, low battery. 20% battery remaining. I hope that the guy's able to hear. A guy still able to hear? What? Can still hear, they say. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Battery's only got to last for another 10 minutes or so. As I was saying, so the Prima Gadim is not abundantly clear what he means, but probably what he means is that the Gemara is not deriving one from the other. What the Gemara is saying is that there's a parallel, that just as when it comes to the Chafetz of Machal Sasurus itself, so in order for something to be a Michael, it's got to taste like a food, and if it's Nifsal, Me'achil Sadim doesn't taste like a food, so too when it comes to a separatist or called Tam, it's got to be something that gives positive Tam. And meaning it's just that the Gedarim are going to be different, because what's called the food is going to be different than what's called Tam. What's called the food is going to have to be anything that has positive attributes as a food and is not totally Nifsal is a food. What's called Tam is going to have to be something that actually enhances that which it goes into. So we can't apply Tam Ki Iker if it's not going to be Mashbiach. Just like food has to be Roi L'Achila, Tam has to be Roi L'Ashbiach. The Chiddush of the Rashba and the Ramban is that after 24 hours, right, those blios are still machalos asuros. Meaning the blios that are in the pot itself, you can't say they're nevela shena ri lager. They're still machalos asuros. Elamai, they don't have the strength to asur anything else. But they themselves are still machalos asuros. Right, the way the Rashba and the Ramban understand. They just can't affect the food in the pot. And L'chor, according to the Ran also, right, meaning you don't lose the status of Machalos Asuros. The Blios themselves don't lose the status of Machalos because they're not Nifsal Me'achilas Adam. They're just Pagum Ktsas. So Frek the Ra'ah, that if that's the case, says the Ra'ah, and this is the third sheet, the sheet of the Ra, which we're not going to deal with so much. But the Ra says, wait, if the blios are still machalos asuros, then when you cook kosher food in the Einu Ben Yom HaPat, you're being mevatel l'sul chachila. And that should be asur midar raisa. What did the Gemara say? Why do I have to kasher kelim? Why can't I just say Einu Ben Yom HaNos and Tamuf Gam, and therefore it's mutter? Gzeira Einu Ben Yom HaNos to Ben Yom HaNos. It's all the Rabbana. Rabbana, you're being vatul l'sulchachila, because those blios are still iser. They just don't have the capacity to aser anything else, to be no sintam. So how could the Gemara say lo aser l'kadera basyoma from a daraisa of you being vatul l'sulchachila? So that's the Ra'az kasha on the Rashba and the Ra, and the Ra'az therefore for his part says that blios after 24 hours are einaru ilgar. And these are not two separate dinim. It's all one din. The idea of nosin tam l'fgam is exactly the halacha of ein ruy l'ger. That even though blios in a kli will not ruin the food that you cook in the pot after 24 hours, the blios themselves are pogum l'gamri and are not roi l'achilas ger. But the Rashba and the Ran, although they disagree as far as the mechanics of how it works, both say that the blios in the pot are still machalos asuros, and that ein ruya leger is really not exactly the same as nosin tam lefkam. They're slightly different principles. And we paskin not like the Ra'ah, for sure. We'll have to see whether we paskin like the Rashba or the Ran in terms of how it works. Is it because of the Isser is really an Isser Hana'a, and you're not getting Hana'a when it gives a negative taste? Or is it based on, no, I need Bittel to happen, Bittel Barov, and then Bittel Barov takes care of the Etzema Isser, and then the Tam Lefgam to take care of the Tam? But how are the Rashba and the Ran going to answer the kasha of the Ra'ah? I mean, l'chora, the Ra'ah's kasha is a stark kasha. If it's still ma'achol sasuros, because it's only nifkam b'miktsas, it's not in a ruya l'achilas ger. It's only nifkam b'miktsas when it's in the dofnei akli. So every time you cook with it, it's being mevatel l'sil chachila, it should be nisadar ra'isa. So the Rashba answers this kasha directly, because this plays out in the Taras Abayis, the Pedek Abayis, and the Mishmeres Abayis. So comes along the Rashba and the Mishmeres Abayis, and he says that Ein Mevat Nisil Chachil is only Nisil Rabbanon. What are you talking about? Ein Mevat Nisil Chachil is only Nisil Rabbanon. The Gemara is safe in saying Lo Asra Torah El Kedera Bas Yomah, Lo Asra Torah El Kedera Bas Yomah. You're hacking me, you're telling me that how could it only be Nisid Rabbanon, you have Nisid Doraisa, Mevat Nisil Chachila, who may he taste Mevat Nisil Chachila's Doraisa? Okay, so we got to go back to Mevat Nisil Chachila. But that's the Machlokas, that's the Ra'ah and the Rashba. Alternatively, the Rashba says, even if Ein Mevat Nisil Chachila is Doraisa, you can still cook in a Kedera She'enu Bas Yoma on a Doraisa level without any concern that you're being Mevatel Nisil Chachila. Why? The principle of Ein Mevatel Nisil Chachila is only in a case where there's a Siyag Doraisa that you might end up getting the ratio wrong and not actually being Mevatel Yisir. But when you're dealing with Blios and Reina Ben Yoma, there's no chance of ever miscalculating because they're automatically going to be Vatel. Meaning they're automatically, they are Eino Ben Yoma. So it's meaning the whole reason that we're that there's such a din of Ein Mevat Nisil Chachila is like a, even if you want to say it's Doraisa, it's like a Siyag Doraisa, lest you get your ratios wrong and you think you're being Mevatel Yisr, but you're not, and the Yisr is still present. But when it's not a matter of ratio, like you're doing with Blios, so it's not a matter of ratio, it's Blios and Reina B'nai Yomo, so then there's no chance of miscalculating, and it's not included in the prohibition of Ein Mevat Nisr L'Chachila. Third possibility, says the Rashba, Ein Mevatlin is only when you have Kavana Levata. When you cook an Ein Ben Yomo pot that gives a Tam Pagum, you clearly have no Kavana for the Tam Isr to become Batal. You'd much prefer to have a pot with no negative blios, a pot that's clean of any blios. You're stuck with a pot that has blios, okay, so you're stuck with a pot that has blios. But it's not certainly not something you're having kavana to be mevatel, that is it. Be that as it may, this is a fundamental machlokas, three-way machlokas, Rashba and the Ran, different from each other, but on one side, and the Ra'ah on the other side. Meaning the Ra'ah makes this clear statement that the blios after 24 hours are in real ger, because in real ger is the same thing as nosin tam lefkam, whereas Rashba and the Ran say differently. Now we're going to focus on tomorrow, and maybe we'll stop a little early today, we'll focus on tomorrow is the nafkaminas between the Rashba and the Ran. Meaning, first we'll say one thing that's not a nafkamina. Let's go with that. The Mechaber quotes a din in Sif Beis that Pogum B'Sof Hishpiach or Hishpiach B'Sof Pogim asks the Tarovis and does not have the heads of Nosin Tam Lefkam. Right, so that's based on the Gemara Daf Samach Zayin. The Gemara Daf Samach Zayin only talks about Hishpiach B'Sof Pogim and is Machmir. That's not enough community between the Rashba and the Ran. In all likelihood, that's a din derabanan. Prim Gadim explains the Shach and Sifkat and Zayin that that's stam a din derabanan. That if any time it was l'shvach, then we view it as nosin tam l'shvach. So that you know, doesn't really work according to the Rashba or the Ran, but it's a din de Rabbanan anyway, so it doesn't have to work according to the Rashba or the Ran. So what we're going to try to figure out is, if the Rashba says, and this is where it gets critical, the Rashba says that the only way Nosin Tam Lefkam is going to work is through the mechanism of Bittul plus. You have Bittul, and then on top of Bittul, you have the fact that it's not giving a positive Tam. Whereas the Ran says it's not a double mechanism, it's one, just one criteria. Is there Hana'a? Are you benefiting at all from the Issur, from this Issur? So that's the only question you're going to have. So when it comes to Chaticha of Nevela, if it's only when it's Nifsal Me'achilus Adam, then there's no Hana'a from the Issur. When it comes to Nosin Tam Lefgam, so there's no Hana'a from the Issur, because it gave a Tam Pogum into the Heter. So now we're going to have to figure out what are the nafkaminas between the Ran and the Rashba, and it does seem to play out in a number of places in Shulchan Aruch, most notably in Hilchus Pesach, but a number of ways over here as well. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with that.